The world continues to respond to Haiti.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiotakis. A couple thousand U.S. Marines are expected to arrive in Port-au-Prince today. They're going to get and help relief organizations get supplies to survivors of last week's earthquake. Up to now, distributing supplies has been quite the challenge. Ann Campbell is a professor of management sciences at the University of Iowa.
In Haiti, we have an airport that's essentially non-functioning. They're having a lack of gas, so if you even get things there, getting it from point to point without gas is impossible. You have the port not functioning, and they really have had sort of a worst-case scenario in terms of being able to get things there.
Yeah, the United Nations World Food Program says deliveries need to reach about 2 million people a day. We also got word this morning European Union officials are pledging more than $575 million to help the needy there and to help rebuild the country. Here in the United States, markets are closed in observance of Dr. Martin Luther King Day. Markets overseas, though, are trading, and we're going to get some analysis this morning about what's going on in Europe and Asia with David Buick. He's a partner with BGC Partners in London, joining us live this morning. Hi, David.
Good morning, Steve.
So I see in the Financial Times this morning that Kraft is on the verge of upping that bid for Cadbury. Now you have Hershey possibly putting something on the table as well. How do you see this drama playing out?
Well, we'll either hear tonight or tomorrow morning at the very latest an improved bid, we think, from Irene Rosenfeld of Kraft, where they'll probably up the ante by about 10%. This will probably trigger certainly some thought from Hershey, but whether they can actually afford to mount a bid to match that, at least if not improve on it, without damaging their credit rating with their bankers, is in doubt. At the end of the day, we believe, after a huge titanic struggle, that Kraft will win the day at around a 15% increase in the current price level.
All right, we're going to keep an eye on that. We're also keeping an eye on earnings this week. What kind of impact do you think these companies, we're talking banks and a lot of big corporations coming out this week with their earnings, have on European and Asian markets?
Well, fantastic earnings from JP Morgan with a 400% increase in profits, but it was the outlook that upset everybody because of the possibility of write-downs and credit card defaults and things like that. And we've got Citigroup tomorrow, followed by Bank of America and Morgan Stanley on Wednesday and Goldman Sachs on Thursday. These are absolutely key. Goldman's will be exceptional, but it's the write-downs and the outlook for the future that we're worried about, though we will see, I think, very good results from IBM and also from Google.
David Buick joining us from London. David, thanks.
Pleasure.
All right, let's do the numbers. European markets are higher right now, more than 0.5%. Asian stocks closed mixed today. Wall Street last week, markets lost a little ground. The S&P and NASDAQ were off an average of 1%. The Dow was mostly flat in trading last week. Well, also last week, Verizon lowered the price of some of its plans. Its biggest competitor, AT&T, jumped in with cuts of its own. Just another price war? Nuh-uh. Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports it's more than that.
Cell phone customers cheered over the weekend news that some carriers were lowering the price of their monthly voice plans. Telecom analyst Jeff Kagan expects those prices to keep falling.
Over the next few months and over the next few years, I think prices are going to continue to get lower, but it's going to be bundled with voice and data services.
Starting today, Verizon will require customers who buy a multimedia phone to buy an unlimited data plan along with it. Analyst Mark Donovan says that so-called all-you-can-eat data plans encourage customers to try out the fancier features on their phone.
To pull the browser up on their phone, to download an app, and not be afraid that there are going to be unexpected charges that show up on the bill.
Donovan says that unlimited data plans are intended to bring in more customers and keep them on their phones longer. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Monday, January 18, 2010, Martin Luther King Day at marketplace.org. Nothing's official yet, but we're expecting to hear today about Conan O'Brien's departure from NBC's The Tonight Show. A deal to pay O'Brien a reported $30 million or more to leave NBC would make way for Jay Leno to return to his old spot as host of that program. Now, the primetime slot Leno is leaving opens up an hour for dramas and scripted TV shows, and that's vindicating a lot of producers and writers, as Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon explains.
For TV producer David Shore, NBC could stand for New Business Connections. The network just ordered up a fresh primetime pilot from the creator of the hit Fox drama House, and the odds he'll be able to sell his remake of The Rockford Files just improved.
NBC now has to fill up 5 more hours of scripted programming, which frankly opens up the competition a little bit. I think the bar has been lowered for me.
Shore says Hollywood's breathing a collective sigh of relief, but he never doubted scripted dramas would survive.
It was the same concern when game shows looked like they're taking over a few years ago, and news magazines looked like they were taking over a few years before that. The networks and the studios are always looking for some less expensive way of filling up programming, and luckily for us, it all seems to come back to scripted programming eventually.
He is not the only one who sees a happy ending. Jack Kaiser is with LA's Economic Development Council.
If you have, say, a one-hour scripted series, you're looking at about 150 direct jobs on that and then another 400 indirect jobs.
Multiply that by up to 5 hours of new shows, and Kaiser says the skies for the entertainment industry just got a lot brighter. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Well, the financial crisis wasn't the best time to take a company public. Investors got scared, and they lost their appetite for anything remotely risky. But as the economy's recovered, they've gotten a little more confident. Bankers are hoping that'll mean more initial public offerings, Lisa Roth explains.
No matter how you count it, 2009 was a terrible year for IPOs. Jay Ritter is a finance professor and IPO expert at the University of Florida. By his count, there were just 41 IPOs last year. He predicts 2010 will look a lot like the last quarter of 2009, when things picked up to 2 or 3 offerings a week.
Not very healthy by the standards of the 80s and 90s, but a lot better than it was a year ago at this time when the IPO market was dead.
But the fact that there are any IPOs at all is a good thing. Alex Genzier advises banks and companies at the law firm Jones Day in New York.
The return of IPOs represents to some degree a normalization of the flow of capital in this country, which is a very positive thing.
More IPOs doesn't necessarily mean a windfall for banks, but underwriting can be a gateway to more lucrative business from those companies in the future. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
In Mexico, more cars on the road means more efforts to curb speeding. In many towns, speed bumps do a lot of the law enforcing, and because they're made of concrete and asphalt, they can do a lot of damage to cars. One man says he has a solution. From Toluca, Mexico, Frank Contreras reports.
Inventor Carlos Cano calls his latest brainchild the intelligent speed bump. His prototype weighs in at 132 pounds. You need 2 men to carry it.
Es pesado, ¿eh? Vamos a ponerlo aquí.
Imagine a regular speed bump made out of metal, not concrete. It has a gently inclined front ramp that measures the speed of oncoming vehicles. If you drive the legal speed limit, no problem. The bump flattens out, and you feel almost nothing.
Yes, the next generation of speed bump.
Despite Cano's enthusiasm, independent engineering firms are cautious. They say the device needs more testing. We decided to take the intelligent speed bump out for a road test of our own. Here comes our first test case, a mid-sized vehicle driven by Toluca resident Beatriz Millan.
Very smooth. I didn't even feel the moment when my car passed over it.
Every driver who ran over the black metal device preferred it to the old-fashioned asphalt and concrete variety. But neighbor Laura Juarez walks past the newfangled speed bump, looking upset. She says the traditional speed bumps are still necessary in Mexico because they give reckless drivers a jolt.
In our neighborhood, they were holding drag races at 2 a.m. You needed the speed bumps, but the government fails to maintain them.
Now inventor Carlos Cano is looking for potential investors in the U.S. and Canada. He says moving his invention from prototype to manufacturing will cost about $100,000. But he's hopeful.
You could see that everyone that crosses the smart bump, the second thing you will see is a smile.
Cano also wants to convince state government officials to buy tens of thousands of the devices. Then he wants to sell them around the world. In Toluca, Mexico, I'm Frank Contreras for Marketplace.
Without a backyard, what happens to the deceased pets of apartment dwellers? In New York City, oh, there's a market for it, as Stephen Thrasher from the Village Voice newspaper reports.
Losing a pet is never easy, but it's especially tricky when you live in a New York City apartment. What do you do when your pet dies? Try calling 311, New York's information line, and you'll get this advice.
Basically, you can dispose of the animal in a plastic bag, and on your garbage collection day, you can place it out, and you can have the bag stating dead dog.
Still, no surprise, most pet owners won't dispose of their dog or their cat with the trash. And more Americans are choosing to not have their veterinarian anonymously dispose of the remains. About 10,000 pets are cremated and returned to their owners each year at the Pet Cremation Agency on Long Island. Owner James Arakria says pet cremation is not just for urbanites without yards anymore.
Years ago, it used to be, hey, Junior, dig a hole in the backyard and bury the pet. You know, it doesn't happen that way now. Pets have become so much more part of families. The death aspect has become an industry.
So successful an industry that his crematory is increasingly acting as a contractor for human funeral homes that now host services for pets.
Funeral homes are trying to see if they can find a foothold inside the pet cremation business.
Walk into a pet funeral home, and you'll find a suspiciously tiny altar and little urns adorned with halo-wearing puppies and kittens. But for funeral homes, pet cremation is a loss leader. They only get a couple hundred dollars per pet in most cases. They realize if they do a good job for you when Fido dies, you might just throw your business their way when a loved one passes away. Another option for city dwellers is an actual pet cemetery, like the one in Hartsdale that has been around for over a century. A professional pet burial will cost you at least $1,500, but according to overseer Ed Martin, many pet owners are more than willing to pay for peace of mind.
They want a place that is permanent and forever, and that's why they come here.
Pointing to a headstone, Martin says all kinds of people bury their pets, some of whom likely have a backyard.
Love M. M is for Mariah Carey. This is her plot here, and Clarence was her pet cat.
It might seem like a lot to put up a granite headstone for your pet when much cheaper options are available, but look just up the hill, and you'll see a 10-foot-tall, 50-ton mausoleum constructed for half-dozen pets from just one family. In New York, I'm Stephen Thrasher for Marketplace.
Hey, want to bark out a comment? We have a perfect venue, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Thanks for being here. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.